You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Kelvin Boyette on the line, and he is president and CEO of Latitude Aero. Kelvin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate you having me today.
All right, Kelvin. So I'm excited to get into today's topic. So we'll definitely be talking about the upcoming book that you'll be launching with us. And also, I know we've been in some talks about possibly launching a podcast on our network as well. So excited to talk about that as well. And of course, Latitude Aero. So the history, how you started it, company culture. Definitely want to get into that and really just what the opportunity that you're providing there as well. But we will start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Kelvin, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Kelvin, what mission matters to you?
You know, what mission matters most to me is providing a quality on-time product that myself and my staff, who we feel are family, is proud to come to work and produce every day. And also a secondary matter is that I want to help other entrepreneurs that have been in my shoes not make the errors and mistakes that we've all made, and kind of serve as a mentor to other people, yeah, not specifically aviation, but in all industries that can benefit from some lessons learned.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs on the line to share, you know, how they did what they did and are doing, and really what we can all learn from that and the mission behind it. So awesome having you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, like, where did entrepreneurship begin for you? Like, where did it all start?
You know, I remember just as a kid, just making things and trying to sell them roadside, or I've always wanted to do something for myself. I've had the conversation with my wife many times, many years before we started Latitude. And I just always saw companies not doing it the right way or the fun way. And there is a way that you can do both. And that was kind of the basic premise of starting Latitude. And in fact, where the name Latitude came from is I now have the latitude to do it my way. And my way is we're always on time. We're always produce 100% quality product that the customer is thrilled to receive and thrilled to install on their airplanes. But at the same time, we have a whole lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. So obviously every entrepreneur, you know, ups and downs, sideways, everything in between. So if you can go back to that, Kelvin, maybe that was just getting started or just getting going again, and you could give them some words of advice, what kind of things would you tell them?
You know, I don't want to get too much into our book, but just be flexible. Never, ever, the way you draw it up on the napkin or the way you plan it out in the sleepless nights in Excel, it's never going to end up that way. So just have a backup plan. Your backup plan needs to have a backup plan, and don't get discouraged when things don't go the way you drew them up, because it's just like life, the rest of your life. Nothing ever goes the way you have it planned. And there's always a pleasant surprise when things turn out a different way than they were intended.
Yeah. And I'll hold you there, by the way. So we're not going to go too far into the book and the content there, because obviously, or I shouldn't say obviously, but for everybody watching, we will be bringing Kelvin back on for a second interview where we will do and actually do a deep dive into his writing and his ideas there once the book is live and out. So we'll bring him back for that. So don't worry about that. Let's go further into Latitude Aero and into the company. So first, just tell us a little bit more about the company.
Latitude is an FAA and EASA Part 145 repair station. In plain English, what that means is we specialize in the seating that everyone listening to this podcast has sat on in a commercial airliner in the past. We do things from just simply bringing them in to clean and do minor repairs and send them back to the airplane, all the way to full refurbishments where we will take a older seat, strip it down to the frame, and build a whole new seat on top of the airframe. Mm-hmm. We also install creature comforts on seats that may not have them. We all carry our laptops, iPads, iPhones with us on the aircraft. If a seat doesn't have USB power, which is becoming the norm, we install the power on seats that didn't have it. If you have been in an airplane that had an old in-flight entertainment system that was low def, we retrofit that seat to the newest HD monitors. So from the basic cleaning to the newest technology, we cover everything in between.
And you're sitting in seats right now, right? I mean,
I am sitting in some of our show seats that have literally traveled the world. They're in the lobby of our facility here in North Carolina. These seats have been exhibited in Dubai, Germany, and several other places around the world. And when they're not in a crate, they reside here in our lobby as part of our showroom.
What drew you to the airline industry, like, or aviation in general? Because a lot of different businesses, a lot of different things entrepreneurs can do. What drew you to aviation?
I grew up, my father was a pilot. I'm a pilot. Grew up being able to fly with him. Just fell in love with it at an early age. Took a very crooked career path to get into it full time. Did some other things out of school. Never really wanted to be a full time pilot, but I always kept my hand in aviation, from buying, selling, trading airplanes to owning a part-time maintenance company for a while. And I really started to develop my desire to get into it full time. And in 2000, I did that. I made the leap from the corporate world into aviation, and got into aircraft interior, got into aircraft avionics first. That led me into the back of the airplane and the interiors business. And I accidentally became a seat guy.
So getting back to your kind of, when you say accidentally, I feel like there's a lot of accidental entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm definitely an accidental podcaster. There's no way that I could say I went to college and I'm like, yeah, when I grew up, I want to be a podcaster. I was a finance guy. Like, how do you accidentally become the seat guy?
So starting off in avionics, worked on primarily cockpit modifications. This was in the early 2000s when this little thing called an iPod came out, and some of the passengers in the business jets I worked that were customers wanted to have their iPod with 20 whole songs on it in the back to listen to their music in flight. And so we started running power supplies from the cockpit avionics into the cabin to power the iPods. And it's funny, we think about it now, you know, the biggest iPod, the first iPod we installed held 24 songs.
Amazing.
And then that led to small monitors being installed in the seats. And after a while, in a decade in the corporate jet world, I was hired by a company here in Greensboro to head their avionics electronic efforts for commercial size airplanes. Mm-hmm. We were also a small seat manufacturer, one of the very, very very small seat manufacturer. And it just so happened the only seats we started selling had USB power or had something avionics related in it. And one day the president of our division came in and said, "Congratulations, you're the new head of seat sales." And I said, "Well, I don't know anything about seats." He said, "Well, you're the only one selling them, so congrats." I said, "I don't know anything about seats." And he said, "Well, we have a meeting Monday. It's Friday. You have the weekend to figure it out." And we were very fortunate, very blessed, and had some very good sales years, and slowly started migrating away to just being the seat guy. Wow. And that led to the seeing an underserved niche in our industry. And here we are.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of picking a niche. So if I can be known as the anything guy, like, that's typically a good place to be. So that's me. And so I love that you're the seat guy. So give us I haven't had too many individuals from the aviation industry on the show. So give us maybe a little bit of a lay of the land, both for myself and for the audience, in terms of just like how the airline works and these regional players that are all over the world, just a broad scope.
Yeah, well, most people don't realize, most people listening in can probably name 15 to 20 airlines off the top of their head, Delta, American, Southwest, British Airways, et cetera. Well, there's almost 700 airlines in the world. It's a very large industry, but most people think is run by 10 to 15 key players. In reality, there's my universe is over 700 customers globally. From our niche, most of the mainline carriers that you can name, about every 6 to 8 years, they install new seats. Well, what happens to the seats they remove from the airplanes? They come into what was an underserved niche into facilities like this. We acquire them, we refurbish them, and then we sell them to airlines you can't name. Sometimes we get sales inquiries from airlines that I have to go on Wikipedia that even I've never heard of, and I've been in the industry 20 years. So there's a just like with your cars and your trucks, there is a used market for seats. So that's a good part of our business, is acquiring these newer generation seats off of airlines as they replace new. The second part of our business is the tier two airlines, the smaller airlines globally. They may not be able to afford new seats or afford the time to wait for new seats. Mm-hmm. So we take their existing airplanes off the seat, make them look new, better than their competitors, and ship them right back to the airplane while the airplane's in for maintenance.
That's huge. That's amazing. And at this point, I mean, we're kind of going down the, you know, from starting to where we're at now. I mean, you've refurbished like tens of thousands of seats, right?
For our trade show in June, our most recent count was 70,000 seats since we started the company in 2015. And as I've alluded to in some other comments, we've never had a late shipment. And in 70,000 seats, it's probably closer to 75,000 by now. We've never had a quality squawk. We've never had a customer rejection. So part of our marketing, and it's our mantra here, is we're 100% on time, 100% quality acceptance.
So how does a company do that, especially in airlines and other things like that? Because you hear different things, but like it's got to be part of the company culture. Like how do you accomplish that?
We work hard. We play hard. We in aviation, a typical work week for my hourly employees is 50 to 60 hours. We treat everyone like family. We have fun. We've been known for a wiffle ball game to break out in the shop just in a high stress time. We'll break out a wiffle ball and we'll play for, wiffle ball for an hour. We played soccer in the shop. We do unique things. This past weekend, we took the whole company to a NASCAR race just for a little R&R and blow off some steam. And we do baseball games together. We try everyone here and their spouses and their kids. They're all like family, and everyone has each other's back. And when you treat people right and they want to come to work and they love what they do, not only do you get more out of them, the quality of the work is so much better. Everyone is just as proud of what they do as I am of what they do.
Yeah. And it seems to me like when you think about creating that type of environment, like retention and like just a lot of the other things maybe that we hear about and with the great, people leaving their jobs and other things like that. Like if you can create that type of environment, then it's just a great place to be, it seems like.
Exactly. We've never lost an employee of their choosing.
Oh man, I'm going to move on from that one. No,
we do have 100% retention rate, and everyone, once you come in the door here, no one wants to leave.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you're working with companies all around the world. So you work with a lot of companies in California, Silicon Valley. Like, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we're also proud, in addition to the quantity and quality of seats we produce, we've shipped to 33 countries. From, large countries, we've shipped everywhere in the Middle East, everywhere in Eastern Europe. We have four customers in Asia, South America. We've shipped everywhere. The trend we're seeing now that we've never seen before is that Silicon Valley companies, large Fortune 500 companies, are now creating intercompany airlines to transport their executives across multiple facilities, specifically in the lower 48. But we're seeing this new creation of intercompany airlines, and that's where we fit in great. The airplane quantities are low. The seat quantities are low. Where they're turning a 737, you may fly for American, Delta, United with 168 to 180 passengers. They're taking the same aircraft and converting them into 30 to 48 passenger executive transport aircraft. And that's a niche that really has allowed us to double our size in the last 2 years. Wow. That's a growing trend. Instead of putting 30 to 40 executives on the major mainline carriers going through TSA PreCheck, the airports, the time it takes to do that, The companies are now creating intercompany airlines to avoid all that. They're also putting high-speed internet on it. So they're giving their executives on a trip from LA to New York, they're giving their executives 4 more hours a day of productive time.
Wow. That's huge. And they would have, and they do that for many of the different reasons that you just mentioned. So I just want to recap them just to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly. So there's definitely like they're getting time back. The main reason they'd be flying these executives in the first place is because, you know, they're trying to save time there, but sending them maybe sometimes through the commercial side of things, through checking in, all the other things, especially with, you know, we're recording this in 2022. So it's not easiest thing to get through airlines and what's going on there just in general, right? Depending on the, levels of COVID or whatever is going on out there right now. So if you have this private feel for those executives and being able to move people, you know, quickly get the time back. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of wins on the control. There's a lot of wins in that model.
There are. In fact, with the surplus of aircraft park, they're able to acquire aircraft cheaper than in most economies. It's actually cheaper than putting the executives on the airlines when you look at the time. Just a pure dollar cost is cheaper. And it's a whole lot cheaper than putting the executives on the corporate jets to only fly 6 to 8 people at a time. We've seen 30 passenger configurations. We have the world's first all lie flat suite 737 in our shop now. We're almost finished with that project. And we have up to 60 passenger all first class interiors for sports teams as well as Fortune 500 charters.
Wow. And I see in that you can see that trend continuing. It just seems like it makes sense. There's a lot of wind there.
It looks like it. We have over 40 aircraft in some form of quotation, which gives us work for the next 3 to 5 years. I really don't see that trend stopping. Once you get people in that environment, the CFOs at the Fortune 500 companies realize not only is it quicker, but it's also cheaper. The COOs, CCOs, CEOs love that the people are more productive. I don't see it as a bubble.
Yeah. It's interesting to me as I go through the continuum of your career, like innovation, that's a theme. So the first one was obviously what led you into the industry, whether you knew it or not, it was going to go that way. It was that 2024 song iPod, right? And Now it's all the way progressed to 75,000 plus refurbished seats. And now, being a supplier that's a much needed supplier within the new trend, or I should say the continuing trend that's getting bigger and maybe gaining pace, which is the intercontinental, the intercompany airlines. So it's interesting to see what comes next.
Yeah, you just always have to keep your eyes open for trends and just be prepared and, you know, just monitor what your peers are doing, monitor the markets, and you can usually spot trends before anyone else if you just pay attention every day.
Yeah. So I want to jump around here a bit, and I have to bring this up because I know we've been in talks and looking forward to it. But when I look at your career, when I look at the history, when I look at the types of individuals you're talking to all around the world, like I'm fascinated. Like I'm thinking to myself, like you have access and you're talking to CEOs at airlines all around the world, different markets, different types of CEOs, different, you know, backgrounds. And I'm like, what a great podcast. Like I need you to get them in a room or get them on a Zoom and record some audio and get into their mind and, you know, document and just have conversations. conversations about what's going on in the industry, what's going on in their airline, how their airline started, and to really delve into and to provide access to what you get to see on a day-to-day basis. That to me is just fascinating, like what's going on in airlines and the history behind some of these entrepreneurs and their stories of how they started their companies or how whatever led them to running a company. So I'm just fascinated by the idea of a podcast around airlines, and I'm excited to have you as a host on that particular show. So I'll just ask you broadly, I know we're still coming up with names, we're still in production, we're doing a lot of different things happening, so this is definitely a sneak peek for the audience. We're still definitely early in production, but broad strokes, Kelvin, what are some of your ideas for maybe some of the content that you'd like to present?
Some of the airlines around the world that we deal with, we have a unique set of personalities. Depending upon what region of the world, we're going to have global COOs, CEOs, general managers, directing managers in this podcast, and their unique personalities globally with how they started the airline. With one gentleman that's already agreed to be on it. With another airline, how they manage their airline in a time of war. It'll be great to how these people started an airline, how they grew an airline out of a war-torn region to a mega carrier who, how they manage 25,000 employees on a daily basis and keep them happy.
Man, I'm excited. Like, I already knew you had some angles and you had some people lined up, but I didn't know who. So this is the first time I'm hearing it as well. So this is going
to be our industry is at no shortage of personality. So we're trying to get a colorful assortment on the podcast.
That's awesome. Well, Kelvin, first off, it's been great having you on the show today. A lot of things going on. I know you got orders to fulfill. I just got to ask, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for the company?
We are looking at one particular expansion opportunity in the United States. It's been very apparent with shipping costs seem to always be going on the rise that we're also going to need a European location. The U.S.-based location could happen as early as the end of this calendar year. The European location is first, second quarter next year, if we're lucky. But the business is growing. We're needed in multiple regions at the same time. And while we've served 33 countries out of Greensboro, North Carolina, that we can't keep up that trend. We need to be where the customer and where the business are. So we have domestic and international growth. Our headcount, if we do this conversation in a year, it should be about four times what we have right now.
Oh man, this is exciting. I'm excited to watch the journey. I'm excited to watch the ride. Absolutely. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show, and to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. I hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based entrepreneurs and executives coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Kelvin, really, it has been a pleasure. I'm looking forward for our next follow-up interview.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and looking forward to the follow-ups and doing a little more.